Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Monday, August 13th. I'm Alan Chartok. Support for the Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital, an affiliate of Albany Med. Saratoga Hospital, with more than 20 locations across the greater Saratoga region. People you trust, care you deserve, saratogahospital.org. Joining us this afternoon for Medical Monday is Dr. Suk Namgum. He is orthopedic surgeon who practices at Southwestern Vermont Medical Center in Bennington, Vermont, and Northern Berkshire Orthopedics in Williamstown, Massachusetts, and is in the studio to answer your questions. Get a lot of calls here, as you know, so get yours in now. If you've got a bad back, the number is 1-800-348-2551, which is all of you. 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Namgum and your calls all coming up on Vox Pop right after this news. Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMZ's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us on this Medical Monday to discuss orthopedics is Dr. Suk Namgum. He is orthopedic surgeon who practices at Southwestern Vermont Medical Center in Bennington, Vermont, Northern Berkshire Orthopedics in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Originally from Seoul, South Korea, Dr. Namgum attended Princeton University, earning a Bachelor of Science in 1994. He went on to earn his medical degree from New York University School of Medicine in 1998. He also received fellowship training in sports medicine at New York University Hospital for Joint Diseases. He's board certified by the American Board of Orthopedic Surgery. Dr. Namgum, welcome to Medical Monday. Glad to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
So let's talk. I've always wondered about the New York University Hospital for Joint Diseases, one of three things. Was that about marijuana? Was that more than one disease? Or was it joint diseases, meaning the joints that separate everything? I apologize to everybody for that. Okay, welcome again. The number to call everybody is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Doctor, I just read somewhere that 80% of the American people have some kind of back problems. Does that fit in with what you've been seeing?
Absolutely. You know, people are more and more active than in the past, and so the back supports our whole body. It's always working, and so injuries occur without, you know, much, you know, without a traumatic accident. Just everyday life can cause people to have worsening problems of the back, particularly because we don't typically spend enough time trying to take care of ourselves and care for our back. We do a lot of workouts working on our upper bodies or our legs, but, you know, the core workouts to really support our back are usually neglected a lot of the times, particularly when we don't have a lot of time to find exercise.
Well, I just read, I just heard secondarily, because I wasn't listening to NPR this morning, that there was a thing on that said the correct posture is to push your behind out and to sit up, but your behind is behind you when you're sitting. Have you ever heard that one?
I haven't heard that one, but, you know, posture is a very common problem. Most people tend to slouch, or it's just they try to assume a position that seems more comfortable for the short term, but long term it will have more detrimental effects on your lower back.
Right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Jim in Matamoros. Okay, Jim, you're on.
I hear you very good.
Okay, go ahead, Jim. You're on.
Okay. Is the TPLO, the tibial tibial plateau leveling operation still state-of-the-art for anterior cruciate fixation?
I assume by TPLO you mean where they will do an osteotomy to sort of reposition the bone?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that is done with ACL surgery. The knee has a lot of factors to successful surgeries. The proper alignment is one of them. Now, the ACL surgery will correct the ligament problem, but if the alignment of the bone is off, that surgery would still fail. And so doing some sort of what we call osteotomy, where we realign the bones to a more proper alignment, is commonly done with the ACL surgery.
And so do you see a lot of knees in your practice?
Absolutely.
You see more knees than backs?
Yes, I do.
Interesting. If you had a personal choice of an injury, would you rather have a back injury or a knee injury?
I think I'd rather have a knee injury than a back, although they're both pretty tough depending on the severity.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Okay. Let's go to Karen in Amsterdam. They all went down to Amsterdam. Karen, you're on.
Hello. In February, I suffered a tibial plateau fracture skiing. It was a minimally depressed, non-displaced fracture. And I'm experiencing issues with it. I had an MRI that didn't show any ligament or cartilage damage. The articulating cartilage is fine. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on with my knee. Is it still healing? I'm experiencing like a sore arthritic type pain.
Yeah, a tibial plateau fracture is a very tough injury because it's right on the joint line, and those are very tough even when things heal 100%. I'm sure your orthopedist has taken all the proper steps, including an MRI, but typically cartilage damage, even when it doesn't show up in an MRI, can still be evolving, and it just hasn't gotten to the point where we can pick it up. MRI would have also showed if the fracture had healed 100%.
It showed back in April, it showed what's called the subacute fracture.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's just past the initial fracture stage.
So that typically means it's in its healing phases. But the tibial plateau is one of those injuries that's very difficult because of it being right at your knee joint itself.
So, doctor, okay. Karen. Let me follow up. If Karen has a choice of going to a local doctor or going to Boston or Manhattan, is there a big difference in what the results could be?
It all depends on the severity of the injury. I think most local doctors can handle the tibial plateau unless there's a lot of deformity or a lot of depression where some sort of surgical management may be involved that would require a lot more technical knowledge there. But in the end, the knee has been damaged, and we just hope to sort of forestall the progression of arthritis that may set in.
Karen, I interrupt you. Go ahead.
Okay, I just had a question. I feel like a rubber band type thing on the lateral side of the knee now, and my patella is kind of jumping around. Any ideas?
Obviously, it's kind of hard just by your description, but the typical tibial plateau fracture tends to be more on the outside or the lateral side. And so with that damage, scar tissue can develop, and that scar tissue can cause your kneecap sometimes not to track properly when you bend it back and forth. So sometimes that popping can occur. Trying to increase your quad strength usually is beneficial to try to limit that.
Okay, Karen, we got a lot of people behind you. We're going to have to cut it off at that. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Donna in Albany. Donna in Albany, you're on.
Hello. I have degenerative disc disease in my lumbar spine. Can that cause hip pain, which I also have?
A low back problem, such as degenerative disc disease, can cause hip pain directly, where if the disc or bone spurs may be hitting a nerve that is going out to the hip, or the other way, more indirectly, is you may be limping or walking in a manner that's putting more pressure on either one of your hips. And so either can cause real debilitating hip pain because of your back.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Donna. We'll take one more real quickly. Dustin in Springfield, Massachusetts. Okay, Dustin, you're on.
Hi, doctors. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Awesome. So a quick question. A couple of years ago, I had a microdiscectomy. I had herniated disc in my L5-S1. And then a year later, it was re-herniated. I got another microdiscectomy. And now it's a year later, and I got my MRI came back, and it's still there's something protruding. My surgeon says the next step, really the only thing to do is a fusion. And I don't know if I want to go down that road because it could also make my other vertebrae pretty vulnerable. So I was wondering if there's kind of any other option to do besides going to a fusion. Thank you.
Fusion is probably the only surgical option, but trying to maximize, you know, other non-operative treatments are certainly reasonable options there. Physical therapy, like I, you know, talked about, core strengthening really to help support the back can actually be successful even with past, you know, two failed past surgeries there. Surgery should always be our last option there.
Because I did talk to my physical therapist, and he said that normally after it's been herniated like three times, you know, maybe physical therapy doesn't actually, wouldn't actually work for that. And, you know, maybe I just have a, yeah.
I mean, there's no guarantee with any of the different treatments, but therapy being the least invasive also allows you to choose other options if it's not successful. But the one benefit to therapy is even if in the end your back still is symptomatic and you end up having to have surgery, the gains that therapy has done for you strengthening-wise will make your recovery from any sort of surgical procedure that far further ahead.
And, Doctor, weight matters, doesn't it, in all of this?
Unfortunately, it does. It's also one of the hardest things to control.
I know. And back surgery is all, you know, I mean, we don't really have a great answer to bad backs, do we?
No, that's why surgery is always the last resort.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's necessary.
Sure. Thank you, Dustin. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. And we are back, and we are delighted with Dr. Suk Namkung of Southwestern Vermont Medical Center, Northern Berkshire Orthopedics, for being with us today. I appreciate you guys coming over all the way from, you know, Williamstown and Southern Vermont. It's a long way over here. An hour?
Yeah, it's about an hour.
Yeah, it's an hour. You know, there's a rule in life. Everything is an hour from everywhere else. So from Great Barrington to here, it's an hour. And so it goes. Okay, so we're getting calls. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And we go to David in Woodstock. Okay, David in Woodstock, you're on.
Hi, Doctor. I have a bad spine with stenosis, and it's resulted in a narrowed passageway in my lumbar spine, which results in sciatica or something like sciatica, depending on which nerve is being pinched. The bottom line is I've had a laminectomy on the L3-4 vertebrae and the L4-5 vertebrae, and I still have pain. I had the surgery about a year and a half ago, and I'm wondering about the wisdom of a second surgery. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, as I said before, surgery is always kind of the last option. Did you find relief after your first surgery?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Did you find relief after the first surgery?
Yes, but the pain has come back. Yes, and not much, and the pain has gotten worse.
Okay. Obviously, there are a lot of different things we can look at there, but if there was some relief, you know, then what can happen, and this is true of any surgery, is, you know, the body is always rebuilding itself there. And so different sort of what we call scar tissue or bone spurs can form to sort of recreate symptoms. And so if that tightening that they had mentioned for your first surgery has recurred, a revision surgery can have its benefits. Again, you want to make sure that all other options have been exhausted. But if there is a reason for the tightening, that they have an exact purpose that they're going to do surgically, it certainly can be a reasonable option.
Okay. I've done a lot of alternative stuff. So just to so you know, I mean, acupuncture, massage, chiropractic, all that, you know, I mean, a whole litany of things.
Me too.
But okay. Well, thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Okay. So that was David. And now over to Buck in Ravenna. All right, Buck, you're on.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing fine.
All right, thanks for taking my call. I just got two quick statements. In 2011, I had a meniscus tear in my left knee. I had the meniscus surgery. Boom, it's okay. I've never had a problem with it. In 2015, I had a similar operation, meniscus tear in my right knee. Well, that one's never really been right. And recently, I'm getting a lot of pain to the right side and under the underside of the knee, to the point where I'm back wearing a knee brace. And I was just wondering if maybe you think I should either go for an injection, should you think maybe I should go get another MRI? And I have one other quick statement. If that caller is still listening about the lumbar fusion, I had one done in 2015. And take my advice, if there's any way you cannot get that done, don't get it done unless it's absolutely necessary, because I've been in pain ever since it's been done. I mean, I still keep a job. I still be able to go to work. But my God, I don't think it's ever going to stop hurting. So
Alan here.
Yes, sir.
First question is, did you ride a horse?
No, I never rode a horse. I did hard jobs my whole life. I took a couple of falls, and they told me I had degeneration and a couple of discs that were injured years ago. And it basically worked on four of my lower discs.
No. I know. But the only reason I ask, being the wise guy that I am, is that your name is Buck. So I was wondering about the horse. Okay. And thank you very much, Buck. We'll buck you off now. Thank you. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And here comes Larry with a very good question. Larry, you're on.
I had a question. Does posture have much of an effect if I know someone has a mild case of scoliosis?
Posture itself shouldn't have much effect on scoliosis. What posture would do would increase chances of you having problems because of the scoliosis, whether it be muscular issues. Mm. Scoliosis is a condition where the back begins to twist. And so oftentimes when it's severe, your posture is unable to be corrected. But with milder cases, if you have bad posture, it doesn't necessarily cause you to have an increase of the curvature.
No, I wasn't in terms of trying to relieve pain. Would posture improve?
Oh, absolutely. Posture for pain from low back, whether it's from something with the positioning or from degenerative disc disease, posture would be very helpful regardless.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Larry. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And now we go to Gary in Warwick. Gary in Warwick, you're on.
Yes, hi. Early in the program, you mentioned that we often ignore exercises, or we exercise everything but the back, and I was wondering what exercises you would consider good for the back.
Well, when we think of the back, it's not actually just the back. The ones that really support the back most are your abdominal muscles, where, you know, the crunches and sit-ups people are aware of. But things that also support the back that we don't always focus on as much are your hip rotators and extenders, basically your buttocks. They support your back just as strongly as your abdomen. And so when you're doing exercises for your back, you really want to look at all aspects of your upper legs and lower body to help support the whole chain.
Now, doctor, right. With that in mind, since I do these exercises every morning, I have, sacroiliac joint problems. And there are very specific exercises for different parts of the back. So you may not want to not do some exercises for the back if you have a particular problem. Isn't that
absolutely
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, we can give you a whole slew of exercises, but in the end, your body will tell you what it likes and what's useful.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You need to figure out which ones you're able to do to get some benefit.
That's how they get you. I've been wondering about that because I do the exercises they tell me to do, and sometimes that makes it hurt worse than ever. But I'm thinking no pain, no gain. What about that?
That can sometimes be a useful adage, but in the end, you need to have sort of a balance.
Uh-huh.
If you work too hard, you're not going to get – your body won't be able to recover. And on the flip side, if you don't work hard enough, you're not going to make any improvements.
See, Gary, there's no winning.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 66, and I think I passed with no pain, no gain.
Yeah, you're a kid. Okay, thanks, Gary.
If I do something painful, it makes it worse.
Okay, talk to you later. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, all right, okay. Thank you.
All right, here we go. And now on to Ed in North Adams. Oh, you guys know all about North Adams. Ed in North Adams. All right, you're on.
Hey, Al.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you were next up. I really do follow along with how long people have been holding on. Now we have a board operator, Joe Makowicz. He does very well.
Thank
he does. You. Well, but he also can, be difficult because, you know, if he hears a particular story, he'll tell me to take that call, most of which I ignore because I want to keep people, you know, in the line in which they came. So you're next, Ed. Go ahead.
Okay. My son is 30 years old. He was diagnosed with ankylosing spondylitis.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if that's going to be correct or not. A doctor wanted to put him on some kind of medicine like Phil Mickelson takes. I can't remember the name of the meds. He's scared of them. He wouldn't take it. But something happened just prior to him. He was working fine. He was working on this crane and doing windows on an apartment building, and the crane came down very hard and jolted him. And right after that, very short time after that, he started to come down with this. He walks with a cane. He walks with crutches or a stick, and he's all bent over like an old man. I'm an old man. He's not an old man. And I'm just wondering, what can I do for this guy? He's the love of my life, man. I'll tell you.
Okay, yeah. Ed, we got it. Doctor.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Doctor, you're on the line.
Ankylosing spondylitis, is a systemic disease that really affects your back. And to put it very simply, it basically causes your back to almost fuse itself. And so some of those strong medications are done to try to help with the symptoms. If your son is at that stage that you're describing, I would say listen to your doctors and see how this does. The medications are powerful, just like anything else. It could have a lot of side effects. But if he's at that point, I think at least going on a trial to see for a few weeks, a month, and see how that affects.
I went to his doctor with him, a great doctor, a nice doctor up in Bennington, Vermont. That's where he lives. And this doctor was so good, and him and I together tried to talk him into taking it. And he did go down, and they failed on giving him the shot a couple times. They couldn't, for some reason, they couldn't give him the shot. I don't know why. Maybe he was tensed up or something. Who knows? But anyway.
So I want to follow up on your question about ankylosing spondylitis. It was always my understanding there was some genetic component to that, doctor. Is that not right?
There is. There's a marker as part of the diagnosis, HLA-B27, if I remember correctly, which kind of separates that from other rheumatologic disorders there. But again, it seems like it's at the point where the treatment needs to be stepped up a bit, and I think the medications are probably something at least to try, just to at least see what kind of effect it has. If the side effects are too strong, then they can modulate the medication so that it still has a great effect, so your son can have a life, but not be as affected by some of the reactions.
Okay, Ed North Adams.
Yeah. Well, they said, we'll put you on this for a month or two. And then if this doesn't work, we have another medication we can try.
Okay.
And, the Internet's a great thing, except when you look up stuff it gives you all this – because the pharmaceuticals have to protect themselves, I understand. And he read some of these, and, it just scared him, and he's still scared. So okay. I didn't know if there was
Ed, we're going to let the doc take one more shot at this, and then we're gonna have to let you go because there are other people behind you, okay?
I understand, Al. Thank you so much.
Okay, wait a second. Doc, you know, on this question of medications, it's a very good question.
Absolutely.
The FDA makes them report every single announced side effect. So if they get one complaint that said, you know, I had immediate heart failure, they say, well, okay, you know, if you have immediate heart failure, stop taking the meds or whatever else. How do you handle that?
It's tough because any treatment, whether it be a medication or surgery, the stronger, the more advanced techniques we have, they also have the potential for bad side effects. And so it's important to figure out the risks and benefits of whatever treatment choice we're offering.
I understand so well. So, I mean, with four small children and a wife, and, you know, and he's struggling. He's working part-time, and he's doing real well. He's a great kid.
Okay, Ed, we got that part of it, and I don't want to seem, you know, uncaring, but I do want to let people ask their medical questions.
I know
questions.
You got to go.
Okay, thank you very much,
Ed. Tell the docs I appreciate what they've offered there, and I'll try to talk to him. That's all I can do.
That's all any of us fathers can do. Thanks, Ed.
Best of
appreciate
luck.
It.
Yeah, God bless, man.
Yeah, you too. All right. And now, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go into Priscilla in Pine Plains. Priscilla, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. My older sister has had and suffered with degenerative disc disease for a number of years. She and I were both 5'2". She's now 4 inches shorter than I am. Mm-hmm. I have heard of a treatment that is an injectable material that can be injected into the discs. And I wonder if you know more about this. It is non-invasive, and there's usually immediate relief. Do you know anything about this?
Do you know what material, the name of the material offhand?
You know, we researched this when I saw 60 Minutes did a program on it about 4 years ago, and it's some kind of a biomaterial that's injected, and it actually fuses with the disc liquid itself and becomes like a replacement cushion within the disc.
I'm not familiar. That's why I asked, just because I'm not familiar with a specific one offhand. But there's definitely a lot of research looking into that because the alternatives are, you know, what other callers have talked about, a fusion. There are surgical disc replacements. But trying to restore your natural sort of biomechanics is always the ideal. That's sort of the golden fleece we look for, whether it be in your back or in your knee. Unfortunately, like I said, I'm not familiar with that, with what you're
one particular,
mentioning.
I'm sorry I don't have my notes on it, but this was one particular doctor who kind of discovered this treatment, and it was experimental, and the patients that he did it on were like 95%, if I'm remembering right, able to, after the injections, literally get up and walk out without pain. The problem is that insurance companies have not yet accepted this as a treatment, and it's extremely expensive. And I just feel that there's a lot of doctors out here that do back surgery, and if we could incorporate this into our general medical treatment, you would be saving hospital time, healing time. It's an injection directly into the discs, and you can do several or do one in one treatment. Or it was just – I'd love you to look into it yourself, but – I wish you knew more about it.
I know of, you know, different types of injectables have been looked into the knee, which I have investigated a lot, such as stem cells and platelet-enriched plasma. The problem with those is, although anecdotally you'll hear people having miraculous recoveries, the bigger studies to look at the true efficacy of it, you know, how effective it was, have been kind of limited.
And, you know, you never know. You see these miracle cures reported on 60 Minutes, wherever else. And then you never know. Oh, by the way, thank you, Priscilla. And then what happens is you never hear about it again. So, for example, I read a study years ago that said rhesus monkeys that had vasectomies had more heart disease. now, or something like it. It may have been the exact opposite. And I read it in a major newspaper, I don't know, Times or what, and then I never heard about it, you know, again. So you wonder whether or not these things ever come to anything. In any case, you'll pardon my digression here. We will be right back, and for the last third of the program, get your questions ready. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. The first one who calls gets on the air. Here we are. We are back, and thank you. We're with a wonderful doctor, Dr. Suk Namkung of Southwestern Vermont Medical Center, Northern Berkshire Orthopedics, and he is with us, and he's answering your questions, and there are a lot of questions today, but right now is a good time to call. Believe me, we have a third of the program, and if you call now, you'll get in. If you wait, procrastination is the curse of American youth. Okay, and we'll go to Roslyn in on the Northway. Roslyn, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have lower herniated discs and some other problems, and I've had a pain management doctor recently put me on Cymbalta, and it has probably been the most helpful medicine that I have taken for lower back pain ever, and I've been fighting for over 20 years. What is it about Cymbalta that is helping me so much?
Could somebody spell that for me?
Cymbalta.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're having such a great effect, because unfortunately, I've had patients who have not had such an effect. It's part of the armamentarium we have when we look at different options for people with back pain. You know, some of the standard ones, such as ibuprofen or naproxen, acetaminophen, we start off with. But when they're ineffective, we look at, you know, the bigger guns, such as Cymbalta. Other ones might be Lyrica or gabapentin. I'm happy to hear that it's had such a great effect for you.
How does it work? What is it doing?
It has helps with a lot of the sort of nerve pain. That's what it's indicated for. Whereas some of the other medications I mentioned have more of what we call an anti-inflammatory effect. Sometimes it works in conjunction with all these other medications because it works from a different angle.
Well, thanks for that good news. Appreciate that. Bye. Okay. And now we're going to Carolyn in Pottown, Poughkeepsie, 1-800-348-2551. Carolyn, you're the lucky winner. You're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I feel lucky. I didn't think I'd get in. I know you already covered something about a meniscus. I have a friend in his 80s who had a torn meniscus about 10 years ago, and it never really healed right. Don't know if he overdid it on trying to heal. Sometimes it locks on him, the knee, and sometimes it heats up after use, so it causes him pain. Is there anything at all that you could recommend that would be helpful?
The most common reason why meniscus surgery is not as effective or doesn't work as well as someone likes typically is because of the amount of arthritis that the knee already has. We can surgically remove the pieces of torn meniscus, but if the bones themselves have arthritis forming, that we don't do a lot with, and that can sometimes be the reason why a knee arthroscopy to take care of a meniscus is not, in the end, leaves patients still with symptoms. And then what we have to do is try to address the arthritic pain, which when you talk about a surgical option, which, again, should be the final option, would be more like knee replacement.
What about the locking that happens where his knee sort of locks?
The knee can lock because of the arthritis where the ends of the bone aren't smooth anymore. And so,
what's more helpful, cold or heat, when he's got pain?
At this point, it's whatever his knee says. So,
okay, my understanding is silica does help rebuild cartilage. Are you familiar with that?
Silica, they've done a lot looking at different ways to rebuild cartilage. None have been truly proven to do that.
As opposed to collagen?
All of the things, we are not great at restoring cartilage just yet. And, you know, silica has its benefits there. But most of the reasons is it doesn't have sort of the long-term effects, and that any gains from that may be short-term.
Okay, thank you, Carolyn. I have to tell you guys, since I put out my last call, 10 people are on the phone right now, and we're going to try to get to them. We have about 12 minutes to do it in, so let's move. And let's now go to Rob in Western Massachusetts. Rob in Western Mass, go.
Hi, thank you. I'm wondering, Doctor, if you could speak to the science of post-operative weight loss for knee joints or back surgery, meaning is there a true benefit of pound loss from my stomach to reduction of pound per square inch on the joints?
There has been a lot looking at the amount of weight with different surgeries. There are a lot of different factors that go into the success of the surgery, unfortunately. So to just focus on one, it's hard to say that truly is the, you know, sort of the golden key. But certainly when you there are numerous studies that show that when you have a BMI under 40, that you'll have typically better results from a post-op total knee replacement there.
Okay. One last comeback, Rob. What do you want to know?
No, that was good. I'm just trying to maybe motivate some people out there also along with myself.
Well, it's worth it, you know. Go on the Whole 30, which is what I'm on right now, to lose the weight. Thanks a lot.
Perfect. Right. Thank you.
And now over to Wendy in Chicopee. All right, Wendy in Chicopee, your turn.
Hi, thanks so much. I'm calling about a kissing lesion and no cartilage in my right knee, trying to figure out I've been stalling for 8 years because they said I was too young to get the knee replacement. Is there a problem with stalling outside of the fact that the pain is limiting some of my mobility?
That's a tough one. You know, typically we tell patients when you are ready for the surgeries, when we should perform it there. The one factor, as you mentioned, though, is if you're cutting out activity, your muscles will weaken. That makes your recovery from any surgery that much harder. And so you want to find that time where your muscles are still strong and healthy so that if you and when you need to get a surgery, you're able to recover from it quicker than someone who's already fairly debilitated.
So from the point of view of us old guys, she's in much better chances of, you know, being helped than somebody like me, right?
Well, I think you look great.
That's the answer I was looking for. Thank you, Wendy. Let's get my friend Bonnie in Sheffield. Bonnie, you're on.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Here's the question. I don't know if you worked at all with Dr. Joseph Zuckerman at NYU.
I know Dr. Zuckerman very well.
Well, he was the miracle worker who replaced both my knees and my shoulders. And he really was incredible. My question is, I'm 70. And he did my knees like 8 years ago. I will admit, definitely way overweight. How long can I really expect in this day and age for knees to work? Last. And the same thing on shoulders, and he said he had never seen shoulders like this ever. He had no idea how they had gotten that bad.
Well, if Dr. Zuckerman said that, they must have been really bad, because he is
He had three international fellows with him, and one of them said afterwards, if he couldn't do this, no one in the world could have done it.
Okay, so let's go to the answer, Bonnie.
Sorry, Alan.
That's all right.
When it comes to knee replacements, in general, the studies have shown 15 to 20 years before they would need to be replaced again. So hopefully you still got many years left on that.
It's about as long as painting your house, Bonnie.
With shoulder replacements, there are a lot of more factors with that. In general, shoulder replacements typically don't need to be replaced again from breakdown.
Yes.
The one factor that can hamper the shoulder replacement, though, is the integrity of your rotator cuff. If your rotator cuff starts to fail, which unfortunately as we get older can happen, that would cause your replacement to fail. But the replacement itself, typically, you know, because we don't walk on our hands, should last the rest of your lifetime.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Bonnie Dear. And now we'll go to Jessica in Woodstock. All right, Jessica in Woodstock, go ahead.
Hello. I'm calling. I had a massive disc herniation between L4 and L5 and had inability to walk and drop foot. I had surgery in February, and I'm doing PT and recovering. I've recovered a lot of my movement, but I still have significant pain with walking and standing, and additionally with the herniated disc, I have a lack of feeling and pins and needles all bottom of my feet, back of my legs, my buttocks, and other regions. I haven't seen any improvement in that. Is there any expectation that will recover?
Nerve recovery in general can be long, unfortunately.
How long?
It can take a year, if not longer. It can take 2 years. It really depends on how much damage has been pre-existing. If that disc was causing your nerve to fail to the point that you had a foot drop, that can be a long recovery, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I've been told. Is there anything that one can currently I'm taking gabapentin, and if I don't, it's excruciating. Is there anything that one can do to help the nerves? Anything to take?
Gabapentin is usually the mainstay for that there. And if it's having some effect, I think continuing that's probably a good decision. You know, again, that nerve to recover, it can be a long process when it's been crushed for too long, or not necessarily too long, but to that extent.
Okay, listen, Jessica, got to let you go. We're getting towards the end of the program.
Thank you.
I want to let everybody else in. Thank you. All right, let's see here. According to my statistics, Justin of Niskayuna comes next. Justin, you're on.
Hi. I don't know if this is an orthopedist question or not. It may be. I've had a persistent itch in the middle of my back, almost between the shoulder blades that I almost can't reach, that I rub up against doorways to try to satisfy that itch. I talked to my dermatologist about it, and she suggested that it might be related to something going on in my spine, some sort of nerves or muscle or something going on with the discs that registers as an itchy feeling on my skin. Is this anything you know about or have heard of?
I got to be honest with you, Justin. I'm not familiar with that. If it does pinch up against a nerve, though, a neurologist may have more of an answer than an orthopedist does. I'm sorry.
So I should just keep scratching like a cow against the fence?
I think it's probably not a good idea just because you can't see what you're scratching. If you scratch like I do, you scratch yourself raw. So,
there's nothing visible on the surface of the skin that would suggest it's like a skin issue. So I should talk to a neurologist. If
your dermatologist thinks it may be something like that, I think a neurologist may have more answers than an orthopedist.
Justin, thank you. All right. Now we're going to go to talk to David in Cambridge. David in Cambridge, you're on.
Hi. I'll make this really fast because I understand what's going on here. There was a caller who had called in previously about some sort of organic material that would be injected in between the, shall we say, the moving parts. And this was something that was being done on my mom when she was at Bennington Rehab. I think the Circle R name for it is Synvisc or something to that effect, but it's basically derived from rooster combs, of all things, and it's sort of in an effort to take the place of cartilage.
What that does, Synvisc is one of the trade names. The generic name is hyaluronic acid, but basically it's restoring your joint fluid. It doesn't restore the cartilage. It restores the fluid that's inside your knee to help lubricate it.
Okay, I remember that for some reason rooster comb molecules were somehow involved also as well. So I'm supposing that's what the previous caller may have been referring to.
Maybe.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay.
That's good news for the human subjects and bad news for the roosters. Okay, we'll go to Manny in Poughkeepsie. All right, Manny in Poughkeepsie, you're on. Manny. Manny, we can't hear you. I don't know why, but we can't. Can't ask you a question if we can't hear you. So I'm going to have to say goodbye. Bye. 1-800-348-2551. If you want to make a fast call, we might get you in now. 1-800-348-2551. So, doctor, what's the SI?
SI stands for sacroiliac.
And we all have them, right?
Yes, we have two of them.
And what exactly is it that can go wrong with your sacroiliac?
Well, it is a joint. And so, like any other joint, it can rub a little bit and become arthritic or just have a lot of inflammation. That area also has a lot of nerves in that area that can be affected by issues with your SI joint.
So people get injections there, right?
Yes.
Docs do that. So what is it about the SI that I read the other day that 30% of back problems are SI related? Is that possible?
30%?
That's pretty high.
That seems a little high, but certainly the SI joint, it could be basically because it's also part of your pelvis. Connects your back with your hips to some degree there, and certainly it, you know, when part of the machine is broken, it's going to, you know, cause a lot of problems.
So is there a practice that revolves around SI damage or not?
That's usually people who do a spine work would focus on that as well.
I see. Okay, now we can take one more call, I think. We're going to try, what number do you think? Number one. Okay, Mary in Otis, Massachusetts, where everybody has a chicken and rides the elevator. You're on, Mary.
Oh, hello. Yes, I've been reading lately about boron, the mineral boron being very important for remineralizing the bone. And what I read was, like, for example, in Israel, where there's high boron content in the soil, arthritis is at about 1% in the population. Do you know anything about that?
I'm not familiar with boron and its uses for the joints there. I'll certainly look into that, though.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very important, what I've read. It's all over YouTube, so... I was just wondering if you knew anything about.
And that's a problem, right, Mary? Because we all know, all of us, including me certainly, check everything out on the internet all the time. And there's some great information there, but there's also some lousy information. Isn't that so dumb?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I agree. It just was compelling that they've done quite a bit of research in Israel about it. So that was, what I was, it really perked my attention.
Well, Mary, thank you very much for your call, and good luck with that. Very quickly, I'll give you 1 second. Jay in Albany, you've got to make it fast.
Yes, hi. I get shoulders injections in both shoulders and in my knee. And I wanted to find out how long is too long getting the injections, and okay, does it do any more damage? Because I notice they're not lasting as long as they used to.
Well, that's right. A lot of people report, right, Doc, that the first one is always better than the next ones.
Yeah. When you're getting injections, I'm assuming you're having cortisone injected?
Yes.
Okay. There is a limit to how many times cortisone can be injected. And if your knee, it's not lasting as long as it did in the past, you may need to look into alternative treatments at this point.
Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off. We got to go. We're out of time. I want to thank Dr. Suk Namkung of Southwestern Vermont Medical Center in Northern Berkshire Orthopedics for being with us. Support for the Medical Monday comes from WMC Heart and Vascular Institute with new diagnostic cardiology suites at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospitals, members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, WMCHealth.org. Thanks to our engineers, Zach Malloy, Joe Makowitz, for answering the phones. Our producer, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Now, you should stay tuned for our news update.